Hi, everyone. I'm Bob Anderson, an alcoholic. Can we open up the this meeting with the serenity prayer? God, grant me a serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Well, it's been a good weekend. It's Sunday morning, and we went through quite a bit already for the weekend from Friday, Saturday, and now it's Sunday, so it's at the retreat at Marion in Auburn, California. What's the date today? 30th. Yeah. May 30th, 1993. So, I guess we'll start out with just with questions or comments or anything at all that...
My name is Dave, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dave.
I was talking to my sponsor last night. The thing that got me was that the living and the life are two separate things. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, for me that was very important for a long time, because when I come here, I came here and I was broke and I hit bottom and I lost a job and everything else. And then when I got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, as I went along, I got caught up into acquiring things and looking to achieve things, and what it meant was is that I started working steady, you know, and as I worked steady, I started to catch up on money and so goals, and then what I called goals then, which aren't today the same thing, is that I always looked to replace things and have things and do things that I thought were necessary, because the day I was in, I wasn't living in bars and running around and living a life that I had lived before. And now here I am. I'm working steady, and I'm starting to acquire some money. I started paid off the IRS and different things like that, you know. And then, so all of a sudden now here comes this here living that I didn't know was living, is that I found happiness in working steady and getting money, using that money to buy things. You know, I would go to buy a fishing rod even, you know, in Rio and stuff like that. And man, I'll tell you, I'll never forget it. And I was living in Canoga Park, and Builders Emporium down in Sepulveda by Oxnard there had an ad out for a saltwater spinning outfit from Italy, the reel and the rod. See, and it was a pretty, I don't remember the price, but it was evidently was a good price. So here I am, and I'm thinking, man, if I had that rod and reel and so on like that, and I hurried down there, you know, and I got the money to buy it now, you know, and no problems and everything else, and I get there, and they haven't got a damn one in the store. And they're not going to get one either. They're all gone, period, see. Man, I'm so pumped up on this, and believe me, and I'll tell you today even, and that happened a long time ago, that if that clerk was still alive today, I bet he'd remember me well. Because I went nuts, you know. And I had to have that rod and reel, see, you know. And see, my life was lost. I was lost, you know, because when I got here, it was the idea that if I could only have this and have that, I went for it, see. Next thing you know, like I went for the house, a GI house. Next thing I know, I got a brand new car, see. Next thing you know, I'm going for this rod and reel, and I'm going for other things with the same idea all the time of pleasure, of fun, of satisfying me, of things that were really, truthfully, of no value whatever, so that I would put so much importance on of getting what I wanted, didn't care how I got, how I acted, what I thought, I didn't care about. When I started, they almost, I guess, they darn near threw me out of the place, you know, because I was just going nuts, you know. And never once did I ever relate that to my life as something that, as that's living, that's pleasurable things, that's things that are temporary. Them are things that I can have without having to go and tearing the world apart to get them. The true character, the true man I am inside, the character I am now that has the things that the quality of life that I need. I never paid any attention to that. See, and this is what this is all about. Because I even found myself like with. Going on a weekend, I have a motorhome. It's mine. I got dune buggies, and I got motorcycles. I got a boat. I got all kinds of possessions. See, but these were things that were helping my living, by having weekends off and having fun and things like that. But I was, when I would drive my motorhome, or when I'd be out on my boat, you know, skiing out, I'm mad, I'm mean, I'm hating the world, I don't like things, and everything is under pressure, you know, and I'm criticizing people. See, the life and the living are two different things. Life and living. Living is, God will take care of my living. It's like my work, my job, the paychecks. See, He'll take care of that. I know He will. He has. See, and I recognize that to enjoy life or to have life the way that God says I'll have it, so that I have peace of mind, so that I have a brain that's not full of all of this here, this rat race stuff, this here acquiring things and judging things by possessions and being happy because I got more than you, you know, and stuff like that. There's a world of difference in thinking about life and living. Now, life is what we're doing here right now. This ain't living. This is life. In reference to the character that I am trying to be through the will of God, through the power of God, so that I can have, in the day I'm in, a quiet mind, a good heart, good thoughts, good feelings about my life, who I represent, what I say, what I do. Because this is all, this is what my life is all about, see? But how could I find this or know this if I have to keep going by trial and error? In other words, I had to go, keep going, making mistakes, acquiring more things, thinking that that's the answer, that's the solution, that's what I need. It's not. That's what the message when I carry, the message I'm talking about all the time is this message. This comes from this way of life, comes from the application of steps, comes from the power, this God, this Lord. See, the difference is, there's a world of difference between the two once I can identify it and become aware of it. So that I don't get wrapped up again when I leave here. So I don't get out in that world out there, start pushing and shoving again, wanting to have the living. I want to have, maybe I got a car. You know, I can't be satisfied. I got to have another car. You know why? Because I think that the other car was going to do something for me or give me something I think is important, so I go for it. Not that it's wrong to have a new car, a better car, anything. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just the way I go about my life when I go for it. I don't care what I do to get it. I have no consideration about bills and paying for it. I just want the thing, see? And then after I get it, you know what? I don't like it. You know why? I'm going to pay for it. And then it becomes a drag again, see? And then it becomes something that's not life, that's living, see? And I could very well be very pleased right now with what I have right now, provided my mind isn't hooked up to that for pleasures, for accomplishments, for satisfaction, for things that I think are needed there. And you know, I'll tell you another thing. I found this to be true in every thought and everything I do. I can have a wife, a beautiful wife, a good wife, somebody that really, really, truly loves me and cares for me. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking over the fence. You know who I'm looking at? Somebody else's wife, somebody other girlfriend. I think there's something there that ain't here. The reason why is because living says to me, man, look at this over here. See? And so it's the same thing as any of my possessions, you know, whatever they were at the time. See? None of them supplied, but I kept looking elsewhere because I could not count my blessings. I couldn't see, and I couldn't identify in the relationship and the dependency on the power. I'm this God. The steps teach me this. This is all about steps, is that I must have this here total dependency on a power that makes it possible to have and be all the things in a day that's necessary and needed for my life. And it's not up to me to judge that and say, well, no, this I don't want this now, I want that. This ain't good enough, let me get that, and so on. I'm living always. Alcoholism makes me think that way, makes me act that way. But the moment I realize that the true quality of my life, the true character, the inner man, the subconscious man that I am, that's where this here should come from. This is where all of this should belong, so that I can be this one man without needing something other than what I have got. This here said this is a direct relationship to God, to power, to the Lord, however you want it, whatever you however you say it. This is really important, because you know this happens today too. This same thing you're talking about is the same thing today. I can look over the fence and the grass is greener over there, man. And I become that same man again. I become restless, irritable, discontent today because something over there, I want that. But I don't need that, but I still want it. And so this is the difference now. For me, it's the difference between living and life. Is it clear enough?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
My name is Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
And
First step, an application is the first step, I understand, or maybe I don't, that it has to do with not drinking, but it has to do with a lot more than just not drinking as an application is the first step. What besides just stopping drinking is an application of the first step?
The first step is where I admitted I'm powerless over alcohol. The first half of the one is, remember in the ABCs Friday night, I was talking about, this is only about me, and I went through steps, and then I had to go back and redo and do it all over again with different purpose in mind, is that I never knew the disease, see, of what it really is. I read what it says it is, and I heard others say things about it and everything else, but it was never explained to me why it's called alcoholism and why I'm here. And I know I'm here because I come out of an alky hospital and I drank a great deal and I was really, really, really sick with alcohol, see. And when I got to step one, where it says I admitted that I'm powerless over alcohol, see, I don't know what that means as far as why they say it that way and what's the principle or what it means when I admit something, see. It's because inside of me I've got a power in there I don't know nothing about, and this here character that I am is always trying to do something by itself. See, by myself, I'm always up to something, always doing something. So I've got, Tebow talks about the inner fight, the inner battle and everything else. So if I come here and I just come here not, and I stay sober, see, you know, and I don't drink. And so here, my thinking now, and the character I am now, just because I said or I admit that I'm powerless over alcohol doesn't mean nothing. Doesn't mean a thing, except when I stay away from it long enough, I think I can handle it again. I think that, man, what's this all about? Now that I'm dried out, I can, if I'm careful, all kinds of thinking goes in. So the disease, though, when the way they're explaining it, they're talking in step one, they're telling me that by the unaided will, there's no way that I could ever drink with success. If I drink, I'm going to die. If I don't drink, I'm still going to die because I still got that obsession. Whether I'm wet, see, meaning that now the description of the disease, like the allergy of the body, I even had to find out what the allergy is about, see, you know. But it's very obvious to me. I knew a great deal about the allergy, you know. But I wouldn't look at it, or I just wouldn't accept it. I accept the word, but I don't accept what it means. So I have to realize that there's no way that I'll ever be able to put alcohol in me. This is me to me now, see, is that there's no way that I could ever put alcohol in me without having this allergy turn against me and kill me, see. And so the part, one of the most important parts is that if I don't hit bottom, the bottom they're talking about that I know of is that after I went so far and I tried so long and I did so much and I can never have no success, I can't make it, I just can't do it, then the inner man, the inner self, the inner fight, the inner battle against things or even to want to do things, it lessens. It doesn't go away, it just lessens. And you know this, what you're talking about now is, it's in your steps in your book about how alcoholics will come to AA and they stay sober. And they stay sober and never question the fact that they're sober. And they say, I don't know how or why or how it works, but I don't drink. See, they never really look at what they're doing. Before, like with me, I was associating every thought, every deed, every act, every paycheck, every minute I could, I spent with the booze at the bars and bottles and parties and so on. And there was no way that I could do anything else other than that because that's all I did. Then when I come to AA, I come to these meetings and I start hanging around with guys and I start going to meetings and keep talking and telephones and meetings and buddies and sponsors and everything else like that. All of a sudden, see, the step one with the inner battle, the inner fight, the inner association with booze, I'm not doing that. I'm associating to AA, to other thoughts, other words, other things. Next thing you know, I'm 2 months, 3 months down the road, and I really haven't had the desire or the drive or the need to think drink or to think booze or anything else like that. See? But all I'd have to do, though, is just go back in that bar and sit there for an hour or two or a day or two, a week or two, suck on Cokes or something like that. How long do you think that would last? See? because here it comes again. See, the relationship, the thought, the smell, the words, the whole bit. Now I'm removed. It's being removed from me by coming to AA. And so in step one, where I admit I'm powerless over alcohol, it's an inner battle that gives up. It's an inner thought. It's inner power that was there that isn't. It's not being used. And so in step one, it's an actual acceptance and a willingness started when I first come to AA. But I don't know these words for what they are. The willingness. So the willingness is to keep going from step one so that I don't get caught up into bars again and get caught up into thinking and dreaming or daydreaming or fantasizing, you know, how good it would be to be drunk again or to be with her or whatever, or something like that. So them kind of thoughts and them kind of, it's not feeding, I'm not being fed with that, I'm being fed with this, what we're doing here and what I hear from the sponsor and so on like that. So my eyes start to become wide awake and my brain starts to see things. Even though I don't know nothing about the steps of the program or the application, at least I'm not dragging that thought process and that alcohol around with me. Not alcoholism, just alcohol. Because my life was hooked up to drinking all the time. I had to have drink to do everything I did. I don't care what it was. I had to have it to go to work. I had to have it to have a meeting to talk to guys, you know, that there's no way I could get in front of a bunch of guys and talk to them, you know. If I was lit, I could, of course. But I couldn't do it in a job I had called for that. See? So I associated every thought to the booze. I depended on it. I wanted it. I needed it. It had me. I didn't have it. Now, that's being taken away. It's being removed without my effort. My effort isn't doing it. Alcoholics Anonymous does it. Sponsors do it. Meetings do it. Reading does it. Listening does it. Because I'm hearing this word. See? And now I'm being able to accept exactly what brought me here. I've got an allergy to the body, and I've got an obsession of the mind. See? The obsession of the mind now is not being fed. The allergy, you know, the wetness isn't there either. See? And so here I'm starting to go days. I'm not drunk. Man, I'm not falling down drunk. I don't have a drunken behavior. I don't live in a drunken stage of life no more. But that's all it is, though, see? Step one is the two parts, I think, is very, very important, if you talk about one at all, to remember that dash in there so that I myself can realize and see me, because of what it says, my life's unmanageable. How come it's unmanageable? I don't know what an unmanageable life, but why is it unmanageable? Well, it's the reason, the true reason behind that, if I have hit bottom, and if I know exactly this alcohol, what it is, then I can see something now where I was, when I was sober, not in AA now, just sober. I wasn't falling down drunk. Everything and anything about me was the same. Nothing changed. Just, I wasn't drunk. I didn't have it in me, but I had everything else in me though. I had the whole character, the whole thinking process. I couldn't do anything different sober than I did drunk. And I didn't know that until I got in AA, until this application of these steps, until other alkies would keep telling me about their behavior, what they did, how they found this or found that. Then I started looking at this and thinking, man, I do this all the time. That's the way I lived. I lived exactly like that. I not only fought when I was drunk, I fought when I was sober. I hated people when I was drunk, I hated when I was sober. The whole picture is starting to show me, identifying how I behave, especially with loved ones. Man, that used to kill me. You know, I meant well. I wanted to do well. I want to tell them things that they're there to tell them, but I can't do it. The character I am won't let me do it. It says, no, man, no, don't do that. They don't deserve that. They're picking on you. They're looking at you as dirt. My mind kept talking to me, and I never knew why. In the second half of step one, where it says my life's unmanageable, sure it is. It'll always be unmanageable. Because that's the disease of alcoholism that I had when I was drinking. And here I am sober, and it's the same disease. It's not drinking, it's stinking. And they used to say when I first got here, you know, is that it's not the drinking that gets me stinking, it's the stinking thinking that gets me drinking. You know? I used to say that all the time. I think, boy, that's double talking. You know, I don't even know what it means, you know. Well, step one, believe me, step one is a continuous process, just like the rest of the steps are too. You know, it's not an entrance step where you come in here and after you get completed or done with step one, now we go on to two and never have to worry about one again. Heck, you don't have to worry about it because it's all loaded with the characters that you really are. You're the same character today that you came here with. You still got the same power and the same everything. You probably have more, like I have more, I know, today in the alcoholism side to do damage, to use, to go, to be somebody that I can be. That'll kill me today, just like it killed me back then. It's always there. That, see, and that helped me see me in the days that I would miss the mark and start, you know, start just pushing and shoving and hurting people and everything else. I got to remember, man, that's me back in step one. That's why I'm here today. That's the purpose of this meeting, is so that I don't have to go back where step one was. The behavior, the thinking, everything else about it. Yeah, Dave.
It's been a thing that I, you know, developing through more and more, and I've heard you say it several times this weekend, and I'm learning more, and it's a big thing for me. You made allusion to it, and the book talks about it. It says that a person like me, at least the way I thought, I don't know if it's true or not, but in my head, is I'd look out and I'd hear what you're saying about character building, and it was as though I never discounted that in my life, but the problem was it was in a second tier. I had the cart before the horse. In other words, I was gonna, as soon as I got taken care of my material possessions and everything like that, then I was gonna go about the business of being a good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like an invisible wall because I never could keep the wheels on the material goals. I could never get to the point of character building and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Which you've said several times, but some of the things have been revealed in part from my steps is It seems as though God has to reveal to me the absolute reverse of it, that He really will take care of mm-hmm. my material, mm-hmm. my living, mm-hmm. so that I can be free to mm-hmm. go on to work on the life. It, almost at a deep level inside of me, I have to be aware of that mm-hmm. because it's a bondage. I can't be free to mm-hmm. concentrate on the other one. Can you expand on that, what that means to you? That's a big deal to me.
Well, it is a big deal.
I've never been free to do that.
Sure.
And it isn't coming from me. It's coming from something else.
Sure. Butch, I said it yesterday, and I also identified it Friday night, is that the word character first, I have to really accept that word for what it really means and the purpose of using the word character, is because the character is the inner man, the subconscious man. The true man I am is the character I am, is the subconscious man, not the conscious man. So everything now that there is there because it's permanently there. It's there because I built this character. I personally built this character. I made this here, whatever it is in me, there because I lived like that. And by living like that, it became as a character that uses these, whatever it is that I have in me, for a way of life. And so, but I don't know this, and I don't know what that means when I first got here. So that's the reason why I was talking and I was saying that step one to step six is all about the disease of alcoholism in me. It's about me, where it's at, what it is, and then to identify it, to show me that the unmanageable life that they're talking about in one, the last half of one, and then two is showing me also why it's unmanageable, because if I got a power here and I got another power here and I keep using this power, meaning self, the unmanageable life, to think and drunk or sober from one, the unmanageable life is going to be presented to me to show me that no matter what's going down, I don't care what's going down, there's no way that I can make things any different than they are because I don't have that type of power. I have type of power that I can repair things, think things, see things to do mechanically or any of these things. But I don't have the inner man that can control emotions or feelings or towards other people or towards anything at all. And so I have to start looking and see what this power does for an unmanageable life. Why step one, the last half of it, would say what it says. So one to six is all about the disease of alcoholism, what's wrong, where it's at, what's needed, how what I have to do. And then 7 to 12 is where now this here is going to be totally opposite as far as the way of life and as far as what it means now about this character. Now, the real character, who I really am when I got here, is still here. But it's not the character that's in living in life today. Because this is going to come from 7 to 12. 7 to 12 is where I can start living in the world I'm in the days I'm in, so that I don't have to use any of the old defects of character or the unmanageable life side. I can start building a new character, a new way of life that's already guaranteed of what to do and the power to do it too. Now, 7 is on page 71 in your 12x12, and it talks in there about character building. Had to come first now. Had to be before material, before living, you know what we were talking about before. The character building has to come now. Now, what this means is that in step 7, there's a method to use, a method to do for a way of life that I must, as an individual, not we, but I, so that this here life now that I'm going to do, as far as the daily living, it's already in print. It tells me how to do this. It tells me how to associate my life to a power greater than me. It tells me how to look at this so needed, like step 7 is talking about, so that it's not a bush league pinch hitter, and so that I don't have to keep swallowing and eating humble pie, that I can perform now, because humility and humbleness now is the healer of pain. Pain is living in the unmanageable life. It's always doing things where you're in question, or you're hurting people, or you're getting hurt. And 7 is in there following 6, because 6 is really identified about being entirely ready all my life from that moment on to have God help me and take away things that would stop me from performing in 7. Stop me from being the man that I should be in 7. 6 is before 7, because what it says, I'm entirely ready to have God in my life forever to help me when trouble comes, when defects come, when anything's there. I'm willing to have God there too. And 7 says now you can perform with God, serving man and God. And serving man and God means that what we're doing right here, right this very minute, this is the same thing as a brotherly and harmonious action that 17 says will have a solution which we can agree upon with brotherly and harmonious action. This is using a power, each of us using a power greater than self, greater than any of us. No human power can do this. It says so. Now we got a hold of something. We can put it together in use, in daily use, this day. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, this day. Don't care about yesterday, whether drunk or sober. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Tomorrow certainly doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about. You can't get ready for tomorrow when it isn't here yet, because you don't even know what to get ready for. But I do know what to get ready for today, so that I can serve man and God today. This is step 7. And 7, listen, man, I don't know if you guys know, but I can talk on 7, and I can go into weeks. And I mean it, you know, because it's all about, living is all about this, see. And as you apply it, you become a better man in your application with God, not with self, see, because it's already proven, it's shown, it's told, it's given me everything to do. I don't have to even know what to do. I don't have to get ready to mean it, you know, because it's all about, living is all about this, see. And as you apply it, you become a better man in your application with God, not with self, see, because it's already proven, it's shown, it's told, it's given me everything to do. I don't have to even know what to do. I don't have to get ready for the next 2 minutes or the next minute. I don't need to. I don't have to worry about what am I going to say? What am I going to do? What should I say here? What should I tell him? What should I tell you? I'm not afraid for you to ask me anything. I don't care what you ask me, because I know my Heavenly Father's there. He's going to supply me with the strength, the words, the ideas, to do His will. If it was my will, I wouldn't even begin to know what's needed. How would I know that? The more I'm free of self, the more that this here application of these steps, when, especially when I'm going from 7 to 12, 7 to 12 is always the same thing. 7 to 12 is building a new character, the character God wants me to be. It's all in 7 to 12. 12th step even proves that, what it says. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I tried to carry this message. Not my message, not your message. This message to alcoholics, and practice these principles, these truths, and all of my affairs. My affairs, not your affairs. Here in 1 minute I'm going to carry this message to you, but I'm going to practice these principles so I can carry this message to you in all of my affairs, right here, anywhere. So I can go anywhere I want to go. Anywhere I want to go, regardless. Provided I'm the man God says that I shall be, I can go there. This step, see, they have words in them. I can't just read them words. Because I read them, I don't know what they mean. They have no influence in my life. I get thoughts. I don't need these thoughts. They're not necessary, but I get them anyway. So what do? The character that I am says, quit talking to self. Man, get back to God. So you get back to God. It's all in the application. It already says that in the steps. And the 12 steps says, it hammers on me all the time that I try to carry this message to alcoholics, and now what am I going to do? I'm going to live like that too. And then I can do that. Because it says that. It says, practice these principles in all of my affairs. Yeah.
I may have come out. I got kind of a twofold question for you. Or two questions. A newcomer, I know what you talk about when you say newcomer. But what would be the first thing to come to your head? The first question is the first few things that you would say to a newcomer. And second, the relationship that you have with the power that you have. What are some of the things that you do? How many times do you go to this power in the day? How do you do it? On your knees? What some of the things that build the relationship personally with this power? Could you talk about that?
Yeah, I've already talked about it this morning a little bit. Is that the day that I'm in, the moment I'm in, I was on my knees last night when I went to bed, and I wasn't on my knees this morning, but the relationship was there. The identity, the call upon God, the recognition of God, the praising God, the thanking God. I do it all the time. I've done it here. I've been doing it here even. And so this here is a relationship I build with this God. I go to God through Jesus Christ. I talk to Jesus Christ about my cancer, about taking the poisons out of my body, and I might do it 100 times a day. Maybe more than that even. But it's an ongoing relationship. So that I myself don't have to get wrapped up in the things that I don't get worried, I don't get concerned. Because when trouble comes, and it does come, I never know when it's coming even, but I don't want to know, and I don't want to be left out in the cold so that I have to go find God now. Why can't I be with God right now? If He's a living God, and if I'm going to do His will, what do I do? Do I wait to find out where His will's at by going in the bedroom and getting on my knees? What do I do? How can I act, and how can I have this program of recovery? Nobody's going to tell me in meetings, and I know men aren't going to speak about this like I speak about it. But I have to do this because it's my life. I'm not doing it for you. And so I found out that this, what I'm talking about, is exactly what God wants me to do. He wants me to get close enough to Him, to trust Him, to be there all the time, not to be a bush league pinch hitter, not to recognize Him when I'm in trouble, not to walk free of myself and then decide, man, I better not do this. I'm getting in trouble again. Why can't I walk free without getting in trouble? Why can't I ask God, what should I do? What should I think? Why can't He be here right now, helping and strengthening each one of us? I know He can. I asked Him. I said, would You be with us, Lord? Would You help me when whatever is necessary right now? Would You be with me? Would You let me have Your words to do Your will? Would You strengthen me? Would You help me? I do it all the time. There isn't one meeting I go to I don't talk to my Lord like that. There isn't one time that you read chapter 5. Not one time when you're reading, whoever's reading chapter 5, how it works. When you're reading, I'm talking to God. I'm praying to God. I'm associating my life to God. When you're done, I'm done. And then I devote my attention to whatever's going on. It's an ongoing process. Especially if you get where I was, when I was, he remembers too, when I got operated on, when they said, you're going to die, say goodbye to your kids, put your possessions in somebody's name, you're not going to make it. You got less than 5%. I can't even give you 5%. And then you come out of that. You go through a lot of hurt, harm, tragedy, every kind of thing you can think of. But I never once lost the idea behind it. My Heavenly Father is going to take care of me. The only reason why is because I go to Him constantly, consistently, for that reason, to take care of me. So no harm will come to me. It's a relationship that most men won't talk about. They think it's something that I don't know. I used to think it made you, when I didn't know who God is or anything about Him, when I was new in AA, I thought it made you weak. I thought you were weak. That if you had anybody that talks like I talk today, I thought, man, there's something wrong with that guy. And I didn't know. I really didn't know exactly what was going on in the world I lived in because I was so captured with self and I was so wrapped up with the disease that my mind was shut and stayed shut all the time until the time came in application, the willingness and the surrender, the actual honesty of self-honesty, knowing that I have to do something other than what I'm doing. And that's exactly what I've been doing since. This here 12 steps, there's no way you can read this any different than the way it's printed. There's no way you can tell me that these words that I use today come from me. I'll show you where they come from. I'll give you an identity and tell you exactly what page it's on. I'll help you find whatever it is necessary to find. I'm real strong about this, but I have to be because it's my life. This isn't something that comes and goes. This isn't something that only works a few places and you get something and now you're all right. Man, I'm never all right. I've got to stay there. I've got to keep going all the time. When I was younger, can you imagine when I got here, I was 31 and a half. I see young guys today, young guys in their 20s. Man, they tell me, would you help me find this God you're talking about? I think, man, when I was 20, you think I would talk like that? You think I would tell another man or these ones that I was with anyway? Why, they'd kill you, for God's sakes. Holy mackerel, they wouldn't allow you to talk like that. Even the women were like that. Yeah, right. They weren't vicious people, but they were people, boy, that were like me, you know. What you're talking about, really, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, it's the gratitude in my heart about this program recovery and about this power, this God. There's no way I can explain it, really, in true meaning, exactly how great it is and how good it is and how... how consistently it's there, constantly there. There's no way, because I've been so many places, in good and in trouble, too. Trouble meaning adversity, meaning health or maybe courts and subpoenas and loss of property and lawsuits and stuff like that. See, even in court, when I'd be in court, the judge is there and I'm here, man, they're going to kill me. They're going to send me away forever. They're going to shoot me. They're going to do something to me, you know. My stomach leaves. I get sick. I don't know what the heck to do. I'm sitting here and I think, what's the matter with you, Anderson? God's here in court too. Why don't you start talking to God about this? See what he says. Man, just like that. I get strong again. I don't care what he's going to do or they're going to do or anything else. I'm still going to be all right. Not because I say so. I just lost it a few minutes before. Now I'm coming back with just with the strength I need to go through whatever it was, and the world still is a good world. Only by the grace of God. The grace of God. The undeserved gift from God. Man, that's terrific. Man, we have a hold of something maybe you don't even see. Maybe you don't recognize. Maybe you don't even know. I don't know. I know. Does that answer anything?
About the first part of that, about you had a few things you could say to a new person, what would be the first few things that would come to you?
You know, this week we talked about this, and I also talked about this at the retreat. Another Alkia, the last retreat up in San Lorenzo, was saying the same thing about sponsorship. And I also read something from what Bill pinned in the grapevine about the idea behind sponsorship, carrying this message and so on like that. And it's about newcomers. Now, newcomer, the word newcomer to me is, I had to change that meaning because newcomer, I thought for a long period of time, was somebody coming into AA the first time. A newcomer doesn't mean that to me no more. I'm a newcomer if I'm not doing this, even when I'm here 10 years. And then when I start doing it, I'm classified as a newcomer also, because it's all about a change of character. It's all about a message. It's all about doing the day I'm in. It doesn't say that after 10 years, 5 years, that this newcomer is out of the picture. It's not. Because the newcomer would be a new character, a new identity to God in a program recovery. I don't care if you've been here 40 years. It don't mean there was to me. And on page 100 in your big book, when it talks in there, it says, both you and the new man must walk day by day in a path of spiritual progress. So both you and the new man. Who's the new man? The new man to me is any man in Alcoholics Anonymous that's trying to find his way of life regardless of how long he's been here. It doesn't make no difference. It's the same thing. Always the same thing. To treat alcoholism, only alcoholism. And so this here sponsorship, to what to say, there's only one thing to say at any time at all, and that's this message. And it's always talked about in there. It started out when Abby called on Bill and what he said to Bill. And then it talks about what Bill and Dr. Bob said there and what it says in the solution. And it also talks about in 3, more about alcoholism. Exactly this, what you're talking about now, is that it doesn't make any difference who that other character is, man or woman, if they're an alcoholic with alcoholism. There's only one message. There's only one way, period. And it's this way here. It's no, it's not, it certainly isn't anything that I can tell them. I can relate what I have done to get their attention, but the message is still the message, is that they'll have to do exactly what it says. They're going to have to apply steps. In the steps, all things will be furnished. There's, I'm not going to tell him he needs a God in his life. I'm not going to hammer on him and tell him things that he can't even believe or see or even receive or accept even. But I can tell him a great deal about alcoholism as a disease. I can tell him a great deal about what happened to me, where I was and the way I am. I used to go in hospitals. I'd walk in a hospital in an alky ward, and I walk in there and there's a guy laying in a bed. He's got a thing around his wrist, just like I've worn many times there and also in an alky hospital. And I walk up to it and I'll tell him, my name's Bob Anderson. I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober so many years. I have a way of life that's really good life. Would you like to hear about it? He says, no, and get going. And I go to the next bed and I say, my name's Bob Anderson. I'm sober today by the grace of God with Alcoholics Anonymous. I have so many years away from the bottle. You want to hear about it? He said, no, I go to the next bed. I just keep it up. And the next guy said, yeah, I'd like to hear about it. I said, we start talking. What are we talking about? We talk about the same thing I keep talking about here all the time. About a way of life where drinking's not necessary. About a way of life that I can have consistently, constantly, day by day. About how I can live in a world that I can live in. How I can see things now that I never could see. How I can get by day, when my life starts getting better and better, more and more of the good life, not the rotten life, not the dirty life. The message is always the same. Sponsorship is very, to me, sponsorship is very important because I know what sponsorship means. It means life and death to somebody. I know darn well. Couldn't get it. And I tried. Hard as I could try, I can only carry the message. I wish I could do more, but I can't. I tell guys, I said, I've got enough time to give you 10 years, and I'll give you 10, and you 10. I'll keep 10. When you get yours, give me it back, and I'll give it to somebody else. I wish it would work that way, but it don't. Sponsorship is no more than helping your fellow alcoholic here do be somebody now that he can't do by himself. There's no way he can do it. That's why he's yelling for help. And you know, another thing you're talking about this here, I found out in Alcoholics Anonymous that these alkies, all alkies that I meet, along the line, there's certain alkies that can't ask for help. There's no way they can. I used to be like that too. But they will ask for help. They will. But you've got to hear them in the right manner. You've got to be able to receive what they're saying for that reason. Because when I was like that too, there's no way I could come up to you and tell you how sick I am inside and how confused and how bad I feel, how I treat people and what I just did. No, I can't do that. But I want to stop doing it, but I don't know how to ask you for help so I can stop doing it. So I say words to you differently. I tell you about crap out there. I tell you how bad it was. I tell you about a lot of things, but I can't hear what you're saying because I think you don't know what you're talking about. You are. I do know what you're talking about. You're talking about needing help. You're talking about all you know is this tragedy, troubles, hurt, harms. Man, when my sponsor would start talking to me and start telling me about a good life, start telling me about the day he's in, because he wants to be in that day. Man, I'm telling you, that's something to listen to. For me it is. Because I don't know how to live like that. I don't know how to have good days. I don't know how to stop doing the things I'm doing. Teach me. Tell me how to do that. Don't tell me to go find it in the book myself. I can't find things like that. Sponsorship is really important, and that's another subject. You can talk for a long time on that one, too. Because if this is something now that needs to be known, there's a lot to know. Does that answer any of it?
Yes, thank you for your devotion and worship and your praise for this
time.
Thank you.
So,
you're
we're talking about spiritual acumen. No matter what, when there's, like, for me, I get hung up in relationships, and when she's treating me good, I'm okay. It's when she's, like, harping on me, and, you know, that's when I get in trouble. It's like, you know, don't you know, you shouldn't be treating me this way and all that stuff. And so, I think you've been talking about it this morning, and remind me one more time about the spiritual acumen, because it's easy for me to get into that justifiable anger and get back in there and wail back at her. And, you know, is my contact with God at that moment.
The reason, you know, the reason why that spiritual axiom is in step 10 is because of where step 10 is in the recovery program. If you had to do anything at all before this, it wouldn't be possible to do it because of what has to be done. The spiritual axiom is that for any time that I walk without any spiritual basis or foundation or anything like that, the things that are there to do or the life that's it represents without being spiritual is never, these are things I have to look to, because you see, but when it comes time for me to behave in the day I'm in, the way, yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. When it comes time to act in the day I'm in, without this spiritual life, see, there's a performance that needs to be given that I can't give it, no way at all. So what step 10 is trying to do for me is that it's showing me that no matter what I do without the spiritual power or the life behind me, there's going to be harm done. There's going to be things that are going to happen that there's no way that I'll be able to even begin to be anything other than what I have been, because without God and without the spiritual, without the application of the program, the spiritual principles, if they're removed from me, then I'm going to be the same man again that I've always been. There's no justifiable anger, or there's no justifiable thinking about anything and everything because of the spiritual axiom being there. Is that this life that's out there, it isn't dependent no more, see, on the other people. It's not at all. So it would mean like I in 1982, Ron knows this, he was there, and I was stripped of everything I had. All I had left was a van with some tools that was in there, mechanical tools and that. And I had that van and that, and so I lost everything else. It was taken away from me. Things that I had for many years and so on. And so the idea behind this was, now how could I live now in the day I'm in after you, isn't that justifiable anger that, to work hard all your life and to get things and have things and have somebody taking them away from you, and not only that, you have to pay for things that they do that you didn't do, and so on like that. So what could I possibly do? See, well, by myself, now I don't like it, and I even had some real terrific bad thoughts about it, you know, at the time. But they were never in motion. I never did them. It didn't get that far or anything else like that. But what did happen though is that the life that I had then, I continue going forward without the home, the furniture, and the cars, and the tools, and the money, and everything else like that. I could keep going forward, and the day I was in, serving man and God, even being upset, I still could do it. And I didn't go to bed at night, and I didn't lay my head on a pillow and hate everybody's guts so bad that I couldn't sleep, and so the character I am, so that all I can think about and talk about is my troubles and my tragedies and how bad I'm being treated and all that. I could go into the day, and I was working, especially with a baby, he knows real well, and I was working with his baby in 12-step work and everything else, because his life was in jeopardy too, and his relationship with his gal and the whole the business and everything else. And I still could be of service to man and God in the day I was in, but only because of what step 10 represents. See, and step 10 is talking there about an inventory that when I'm wrong, continuous, a daily, a minute by minute life that has to be kept there. And so if I make a mistake, if I think bad thoughts, if I do anything at all, there is a way that I can have this day so that I don't have to damage people, I don't have to run backwards now and get hurt and do more damage and stuff like that. I can have the day I'm in. I can have it. I'm still serving God and man. I'm still carrying the message. I'm still the man God says that I shall be with his power. Man, I'm telling you, that's a backup that no human power can do that. No human power. Not when you've been where I've been, you can't. I've seen it all, man. Believe me, I have. But I'm still a better man today because God says so, not because I went through that or I seen that or I did that. Or it doesn't mean that. Them days don't count today. Honest to God, they don't count. I don't draw from them days. And I don't relive them days either. And I don't hurt people because they did that them days. I just don't entertain them thoughts. I don't want to punish nobody. I don't want to treat them bad. I want to think good of them today, and I do think good of them today. But I have to, because my Lord says, this is what I'll do for you, you do this, and I do it. Yeah.
My name is Bill, and I'm an alcoholic. Could you talk a little bit, after talking to Kate before about compliance, about doing just enough to get by, to help with compliance and stop and surrender, so we have to do chances up. I've had periods where I'm going to do everything I'm told and things that I'm told, but then I've had periods where compliance has been part of my life and what I do. In that particular state, it just seems like there's nothing else there. Now, what causes
well, that, you know, the when they're talking about the easier, softer way, identifying them words and all that, and then it's see, self, like with me, when I would do something, and I'd go gung-ho, you know, I'd go all out doing something, and after I get going with it, and things are happening, things are taking place and all that, then I think that's enough because it's going to stay like that or it'll be like that. Now I can do other things, and so I back away from whatever that was. And most of the time, it's always in a relationship to God to do something or to get going. And then after I get going, I take over. Now when I take over, this compliance is where Tebow explains this better in words than I could possibly do it. But it's there though that compliance is like you're talking about there. Once I get disconnected from God, or once I get satisfied that everything is cool, everything is right, and I'm on safe ground now, nothing's really wrong. When I back down on everything. I don't just back down on one thing. I start backing down on everything because I'm going back to where I used to be all the time, meaning that self is regulating, controlling, and seeing life now is it figures it's okay now. There's no problem here. What's the hurry now? See, what's, you know, the... So compliance, the main thing about compliance is recognizing what compliance does. When you are complying, see, because when you're complying, is that compliance is just getting by, doing just enough, but that's the disease, that's self. God doesn't tell you to do it that way. Self tells you to do it that way. Self says, listen, we got that fixed, let's go over here and do this now. We just did a job over here, we just maybe gave it 5 minutes attention, it should take maybe an hour's attention, see, or something like that. So what I do, I get scattered. I start looking at a big picture again, I start seeing ahead of things, and I start looking backwards, I see things here that all of a sudden now, instead of maybe being specific, you know, first things first here, I'm looking now at everything, and I only pick and choose maybe here and there. In the compliance part, where Tebow helped me on the deal, is compliance stops surrender. So compliance keeps me going where I'm at when I'm doing things half-assed. The more I do it, the more I keep doing it. Because self is taking over, self is coming in the picture again, self is the power again. The alcoholism is not being treated at all. Here it comes again, the character comes, and he's going to do exactly what he thinks is right to do, and that's good enough, whatever it is. And it's not, see. Because this way of life, each and every day, as I live each and every day, there's more to go for, there's more to do. It has to be that way, because this is spiritual progress. This is spiritual progression. This is what God wants me to do. It's because it's a constant thing that keeps growing. And I can't see that. It's the same thing as like if I made one 12 step call this week, and maybe 10 called me, and I only went to one. I figured that's good enough. What about the other 10? See, well, it's in compliance. If I would have went for the other 10 or whatever it was, and whatever effort, I become a better man in the relationship with God because I'm with God doing His will and His works. Instead of that, I say no, that's enough, and so I quit, and then self takes over again. Compliance, where Tebow's talking about, is the way. And you know, when Tebow's talking about, and he's saying, only the deity makes this possible. See, now you know, if it was an AA, if it was a minister or something else, they'd say only God makes this possible. See, and then I can hear that a little clearer. But when he refers to it as a scientific man, I guess, and so he's referring to deity, meaning all any gods or any power that's related to this universe that way. So I pick up on a lot of things, but I use a lot of things to help me to see or to have or to do or be aware of, so that I don't have to get caught up in this here just enough business. You know, that's good enough for now, we'll go back to there later and all that kind of stuff. I don't recognize the disease when it does. And Friday night we were talking about this, exactly about this, is how the disease of alcoholism is so hidden. It's so, a lot of guys want to call it, it's subtle. That, no, it ain't, man. It's come, when it comes in, it don't come in the back door. It's going to sneak up on you, you know. Man, it's very evident, you know. And it's strong, and it's big, and it's powerful, and it's hollering, it's screaming, and it's doing everything. So, believe me, you know it's there, and I know it's there, too. Compliance, you know, is a good word to look at because of what it does when you comply with something. You know, you comply with it. In other words, you accept it as whatever it is. It's good enough. It's okay, fine, no problem, you know. And yet, though, there's a lot should be done. Instead of saying that, there's a lot more to go for. And that's most of Alkies, all Alkies, including me, is that they get on safe ground. They think that there's been so much done, so much good works, and man, I ought to be able to sit here and watch this TV game or something like that, you know, and not pay attention to the things that need to be paid attention to. I'm not going to, you know, truthfully, I don't accept life. Rod pretty close to me, he knows that. I just won't accept things like that no more. I won't pay that price. Not knowingly I won't do it. I might do things, and maybe I might even hurt you or something, but I sure didn't do it intentionally and knowingly, and I didn't. In the moment I find out whatever it is, I'll make some kind of an effort to correct it and make sure I don't do that again. I'll do my very best because I'm not going to accept things today the way I used to accept them, this compliance thing that you're talking about now. I'm not going to do it. No way. Because if I have the power that's greater than me, it's greater than any human power, and if God has taken me this far and He can do these things He has done, how about going for more? How about let's not be satisfied with just a little bit of an effort.